welcome everybody to the Six Eyes Radio Network Children's Bible Time here on the Six Eyes Radio Network Station 2. Want to say welcome one, welcome all to the program today, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340. Press the number 1, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things today, as we have another good program lined out for you again today with Ranger Bill, Sister Ruth, and Uncle Bob, along with some great gospel songs for you to sing along with again today. So, Sister Ruth, who do we got in the house with us again today?
Well, we have God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, you and me.
Okay, well, what kind of prayer requests we got today?
A little bit, I don't know how you'd say, maybe have a headache today, but I'm surviving and going to have a good show anyway. We just praise the Lord and love everybody. So, I guess complete there.
Okay, are you trying to say you have a headache or you are a headache?
No, I have a headache.
So, it all depends on the pronoun there, you notice.
I do have one, yes.
It's all in the pronoun. If you have or you are. So
I have a headache.
So it all depends. You know, if you are a headache, you'll have to pray about that. But
yeah.
There's the big difference. So either way, you'll have to pray about that.
Yeah, I got a headache.
Okay. So the question now, who is your headache? That's the next question. All
the
right.
Devil.
Okay.
But anyway.
All right. Well, we want to remember all of our countries. Leaders,
amen.
That they'd seek after God, not after man, the situation over in Israel. Of course, all our military, our first responders, police, fire, ambulance, all our medical personnel, no matter what they may be doing. Of course, all of those who are sick and shut in hospitals, nursing homes, and those at home are lost in general, especially that one who is nearest hell, that they'd come to Christ tonight, whether young or old. And then, of course, all of the needs here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, the team, and, of course, the needs of the blind ministry. So we're going to have you open us in a word of prayer, Ruth, and then we're going to get right on rolling today.
It'll be a good show. Amen. All right. Dear precious Lord, in the name of Jesus, be with all the requests today, with everybody in all those over 100 countries, and have everybody have a good time today, and just praise and bless your name, Lord. We love you so much. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's get right into our program today, and we hope everybody has a good time. God bless. Here we go.
If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning, I'd hammer in the evening, all over this land. I'd hammer out danger, I'd hammer out of war, I'd hammer out I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning.
first came to your house, I wonder what you'd do. Yes, if Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpected, just dropped in on you, oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve to him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been? Would you turn the radio off and hope he hadn't heard? And wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? And would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in? Or would you rush him out? And I wonder, if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? And would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read? And let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? And would you take Jesus with you everywhere you'd plan to go? Or maybe, would you change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends? Or hope that they would stay away until his visit ends? And would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? Oh, it might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you.
And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. We're going into 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 31.
1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 31.
So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord.
And you notice here something interesting. Most people think, well, after Saul messed up, that he was doomed. No. Even after Saul messed up, he asked Samuel, he says, hey, I want to repent. I want to worship the Lord. And there's the proof in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 31, that Samuel did return with Saul, and Saul did worship the Lord. So Saul did repent. He did worship the Lord. But what Samuel did not turn back from, and what God did not repent of or say, okay, Saul, I'm going to forgive you for, he did not change his mind. God did not change his mind when he said he was going to take the kingdom from Saul. Hello. Read your Bible. There it is in 1 Samuel 15. You could see it for yourself. Saul, the kingdom was taken from him. But God did not refuse Saul from worshiping him and repenting and going back to God and repenting. Because Saul did return and Saul did worship God. So, for those agnostics who say, well, Saul did repent. No, no, no. Saul did go back to God. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse, 1 Samuel 15 and verse 31. Amen. Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind. Our primary outreach goal is to the edification of the saved, reaching out to the lost, and helping those in distress, and the education of Christ's body as to the abilities, needs, and rights of those who are visually inconvenienced, and the special talents they can bring to God's church. God has challenged us to meet this goal in many ways. First off, with our appropriate outreach materials for the sighted and blind alike, such as large print, Braille and audio Bibles, tracts, and more. Then secondly, our sermons library, which is over 200 titles strong and growing. Topics range from loving the brethren to the false doctrines of the cults. You'll surely find food for your soul by checking out the entire set we have to offer. All sermons are totally free for the asking, as the Lord provides. Request one or as many as you want. Thirdly, our resources department of our ministry helps to answer the question, what is out there? By getting help finding training for blind children and adults, finding a summer camp or a handy gift idea for that blind friend or loved one. Finally, don't stay on earth without them. Find out more about the Extrabula Angels and how these messengers of mercy are a part of the ministry. Get a copy of their albums or book them before they fly away. You can find out more about Holiness Bibles for the Blind by visiting our website at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Again, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Or you can call us at 1-440-789-9411. Again, 1-440-789-9411. You can also email us at holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. Again, that's holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. And finally, if you wish to give a love gift to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, go to paypal.com and enter the email address 2for1katie@gmail.com. That's digit number 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. Again, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. After you've entered the email address, then all you've got to do is enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small, Holiness Bibles for the Blind thanks you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Amen.
People didn't want to believe that they could be healthy in the morning and dead by nightfall. They didn't want to believe that.
Working on the railroad just to pass the time away. Won't you blow, Dinah, won't you blow, Dinah, won't you blow your horn? Dinah, won't you blow, Dinah, won't you blow, Dinah, won't you blow your horn?
Someone's in the kitchen with Dinah, someone's in the kitchen, I know. Someone's in the kitchen with Dinah, strumming on the old banjo. Fee, fi, fiddly-i-o. Fee, fi, fiddly-i-o. Fee, fi, fiddly-i-o. Strumming on the old banjo.
I've been working on the railroad. Working on the railroad just to pass the time away. Can't you hear the whistle blowing? Rise up so early in the morn. Can't you hear the captain shouting? Dinah, blow your horn.
Dinah, won't you blow? Dinah, won't you blow? Dinah, won't you blow your horn? Dinah, won't you blow? Dinah, won't you blow? Dinah, won't you blow your horn?
Someone's in the kitchen with Dinah. Someone's in the kitchen, I know. Someone's in the kitchen with Dinah.
Help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Hello?
feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Whoa, Vinny.
Hey, Jordan.
What's wrong?
I lost my joy.
You lost your joy?
Yeah.
We got to help you get that back. Where do you keep your joy?
Where do I keep my joy? What do you mean?
Yeah. Where do you keep it?
I don't know. Where do you keep your joy?
I keep my joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. Listen.
I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where? Make sure to subscribe and check out our other videos.
And remember, God loves you. We'll
see you next time.
Guys.
I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Hey, baby. I will be there.
Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. And now, kids, it is time for Ranger Bill.
Ranger Bill, warrior of the woodland, struggling against extreme odds, traveling dangerous trails, fighting the many enemies of nature. This is the job of the guardian of the forest, Ranger Bill. Pouring rain, freezing cold, blistering heat, snow, floods, bears, rattlesnakes, mountain lions. Yes, all this in exchange for the satisfaction and pride of a job well done. Say, have you ever been in an automobile accident? They can be pretty frightening. And on the spur of the moment, you might even get scared enough to want to run away. Never run away from the scene of an accident, no matter how bad the accident is. Why? Well, listen to the story of two boys, Reuben and Smitty, who had an accident with their hot rod. Only by hard work and fast thinking did Bill Jefferson save them from the angry citizens of Big Pine. That's a village about halfway between Knotty Pine and Canyon City. Here's the story, Hit and Run.
Cut it down, Smitty. Got to keep well within the limit.
Yeah, okay, Rube. You know, I don't know where folks get the idea that hot rod drivers are always speed demons.
Oh, that's because a couple of smart alecks didn't use their heads. Going through town like a jet plane the way they did, and everybody's been sore ever since.
Well, I can't blame them exactly, can you?
No. Say, Smitty, we gotta put the strobe light on this thing when we get back to the garage. It must be out of time again.
Yeah, you're right. Seems to be missing at high speeds.
Watch out, the street's narrow here, Smitty.
What's the matter with you, Rube? Getting the jitters or something?
No. It's just that the folks in town are so dead set against us. We wouldn't stand a chance if anything should...
Look out! Look out for that man! I think I hit him, Rube.
Yeah. Let's get out of here, quick.
You mean run?
Sure. Okay, here goes. Cut around him wide. That's right. Now take off.
Bill, how much further we got?
Quite a ways, Ralph. Coming into Big Pine now.
These were halfway home.
Yep.
Gray Wolf and Stumpy are still sleeping. Guess I'll do the same. Hey, Bill, what's going on up here in the center of town?
I'm just wondering myself. Better wake up Stumpy and Gray Wolf. We'll find out.
Okay. Hey, Gray Wolf, Stumpy, come on, wake up. Come on, wake up.
Why are we stopped here, Ralph?
Well, something's going on in the street. Bill says we should take a look.
Hey, look at all the people.
Sounds like a riot starting.
You're not joking, Ralph. Lock the cars so no one can get our weapons. Come on, fellas, let's find out what this is all about.
Hey, they're the Rangers. Let them through.
Thanks for letting us through, folks. Where's Constable Gorman?
Right here, Bill.
Is he dead, Sid?
Yeah.
How'd it happen?
Well, I don't know, Bill. Some of the folks heard a car tearing down the street, and then they found poor old Sam here.
Yeah, it was one of those dirty hot rodders.
Now, get a blanket out of the car and cover the body, will you?
Sure. Let me through, please.
Blanket won't do Sam any good. Why don't you go after those rats that did this?
Yeah.
That's what you gotta do.
Oh, look here, mister. We'll handle this our own way, if you don't mind.
Gray Wolf, Stubby, let's clear the crowd off the street.
Not a good idea. They only wipe out evidence when they walk around.
You haven't got enough rangers to move us, mister.
There are three of us here and one at the radio car. That's enough. You seem to be the ringleader, mister, so I'm talking to you. If you don't stop making trouble, I'll arrest you for inciting mob violence and obstructing the work of law enforcement officers. I'll get a move on.
Back it in, Smitty, before somebody sees us.
Yeah. What do you think I'm trying to do, Room? Just so scared I can't see straight. Look out now.
Yeah, okay. Come on back.
That's that. Close the doors, Rube.
Yeah, right away, Smitty.
Now, why don't you go home, Rube? I hit the guy, not you.
We're in this mess together, aren't we?
Boy, I sure don't know where that fella came from. All I know is suddenly he's right in front of the car, and boom.
I know. Let's stay here for a while and think what we should do.
I know what we shouldn't have done.
Yeah? What?
We shouldn't have run away.
Maybe you're right. And I'm the guy that told you to do it. But we wouldn't have had a chance with some of those hotheads in town. But it's too late to think of that now.
Is it?
Sure it is. If I could only calm down and do some straight thinking.
We've got to think straight. It's our only chance.
The ambulance will be here shortly, Bill.
Thanks, Sid.
Did you find out anything?
Yeah, some very interesting things.
As soon as they take old Sam away, we can go into my office and talk this over.
Yeah, it's a good idea, Sonny. Something mighty fishy about this here accident.
Huh? Well, it's a clear case of hit and run, ain't it?
Not the way we see it, it ain't.
Is that right, Bill?
Well, there are some very peculiar factors in the case, Sid, that you don't find in the ordinary hit and run.
I hope you can prove your point. There's some ugly rumors around that the citizens of Big Pine are going to take the law into their own hands.
Who the man was we hit.
Yeah?
Oh, who is he? Sam Potter.
Sam Potter?
Oh, no. I found out something else.
What?
He's dead.
You mean it was our car?
Must have been. They found him dead on the street.
I can't figure it, Rube.
Neither can I, Smitty. But we killed him just the same.
Do you think we better give ourselves up?
Smitty, we can't do that. The townspeople would lynch us.
Well, Bill, how does the evidence stack up?
Let's start with the tire marks, Sid. We measured the short skid marks, and they tell us the car was going between 20 and 25 miles an hour.
20 miles?
Mm-hmm.
How could there be skid marks at that speed?
Well, the brakes were in excellent condition, and the driver slammed them on hard. The marks aren't prominent, but they're there just the same.
They're even more important point about skid. Tell him, Bill.
I'm just getting to that, Grey Wolf. Another reason the car skidded as it did is that the tires were bald. Makes skidding easier.
What kind of a car would have bald tires? It ain't safe for a regular car to have them.
But hot rod have bald tires in some cases.
Hot rod? That would make matters worse for whoever hit Sam.
What do you mean, Sid?
Why, a large portion of the population of Big Pine is made up of only half a dozen families. Intermarriage and so forth. Sam Potter was recognized as the leader in the town.
I see. That's why the folks here were so angry. I sense more than just the usual anger and disgust over a hit-and-run case.
Not only that, Bill. These folks are very prejudiced against hot rod.
Most people are, Sid. It's the hot rodder's own fault.
Well, we just got to keep ahead of them, that's all, and ask for patience. How do we do that, Bill? By finding the driver of that car before they do.
Where we start to find driver, Bill?
Well, the first thing I want to do is take Sam's outer clothing to the lab and have him gone over for paint fragments. Grey Wolf, you and Ralph get a list of all the lads who own or drive hot rods. And Stumpy, you stay here and help Sid keep things under control.
Say, Stumpy, let's stop in here at Ben's store and have a cup of coffee. A lot of the folks just sit around there and talk.
Yeah, that's for us, Ed. Maybe we can get an idea of what they're thinking about in this here accident. Yeah, seems to be quite a crowd in the store.
Yeah, and I don't like it.
You know, Sonny, go on in. Only one way to catch a polecat. Go in after him.
Hey, fellas, it's Sid.
Yeah. Got a ranger with him, I see.
He's just an old guy. He can't do any harm.
Oh, just a minute there, young sir. I was putting three-cornered pants on grizzly bears before you were born. You step up here, I'll show you how old I am.
Okay, Pop, I take it all back.
Hey, Seth, you find out who did it yet?
No, but the rangers think a hot rod may have hit him.
No.
You shouldn't have said that, Sonny.
You're telling me.
Let's grab those hot rodders and let's get them one by one.
Yeah, let's get started on this manhunt, boys. I know the first place to go.
All right, let's go.
I guess I'm not the peace officer out of me. Didn't even try and stop him.
Yeah, don't talk foolish, Sonny. There's some things you can do and some things you can't. Let's get our shooting irons and follow those men. Call Bill while we're at it. Listen, if we'd have got beat up, we wouldn't have been able to help anybody.
Hello, University Lab.
Bill Jefferson, Mays.
Just a minute. Bill, it's for you.
Thanks, Pat. Hello, Bill Jefferson speaking.
Bill, this is Sid Gorman. You'd better get over here right away.
Hmm? What's happened?
Well, I let it slip out accidentally that you thought the hit-and-run driver was a hot rod. Now the men of the town have taken matters into their own hands. They're going after all the lads who own hot rods.
That's bad. Well, I get over there as fast as I can, Sid. You stay at the office and have Stumpy follow the mob. Tell him to call in and let you know where he is.
Okay, Bill.
Oh, one more thing, Sid. Try and get hold of Grey Wolf and Ralph and any other rangers you can. I'll see you soon.
Something unexpected, Bill?
Not unexpected, Pat. This came sooner than I thought it would. Phone me at the constable's office in Big Five when you get through going over the clothes, will you?
This your hot rod kid?
Yeah. It belongs to me and Smitty.
Have you been driving a car recently?
Hey. Huh? Here's a piece of Sam's coat cut my license.
Quiet.
Did you two kids run down Sam Potter?
Answer me, did you?
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Who was driving?
Me.
So you're the guilty one. You ran away, didn't you?
You did run away, didn't you? You dirty hit and run.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, let's take him away before the law gets here.
We didn't mean to do it. It was an accident.
Accident, my eye. Let's get a barrel of tar and some feathers.
Now,
I got some. We'll take care of these kids our way.
Okay, let's go. Come on, let's get him. Let's go. Copper, they're guilty.
Right.
This time we're doing things our way.
I'm appointed you as judge. How do you know they're guilty? Release them, I said.
You make me.
Yeah.
All right, I will.
Watch it.
Hold it there, boys. Don't make me
shoot. I can gouge the eye out of a June bug at 1,000 yards. Don't make me prove it. I'm warning you.
Thanks, Stumpy. Now listen, you people. These kids are going to get justice. If they're guilty, they'll be punished. If they're not guilty, they'll go free. That's for the law to decide. Tom, take these two boys over to the jail and lock them up for their own protection. And stay there with Shorty and Ned and guard the jail. We'll keep these men here until you're safely away.
Okay, Bill. Come on, Lance. Let's go to the car.
Hey, you in the back. Don't try and sneak off.
That's right. Everybody stays here until the car leaves. All right, you can disperse now.
You fellas, go on home. Behave yourselves. One peep and we'll need a jail stretcher.
Phew. That was a close one, Bill. We got here just in the nick of time.
I'll say we did, Ralph. This isn't the end of it either.
Think you're right, Bill. Those men plenty mad. You think they try and break into jail?
Well, they wouldn't try that in this day and age, would they? Sounds ridiculous, I know, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if they did.
Now, let's go back to the jail and talk with the boys. See what's what.
First, let's take a look at the hot rod, Sid. We'll be back at the jail before the mob gets rebellious enough to try to break in. Now, Rube, Smitty, suppose you tell us just how it happened.
I was driving, Bill. I'm the guilty one, not Rube. But I told him to drive away. I'm the most to blame.
All right, take it easy, fellas. All I want to know is what happened. And don't worry about the mob. They won't get you, believe me.
Okay, Bill. All I can say is that we were driving down the street. Couldn't have been more than 25 miles an hour at the most. And suddenly, the old man was in front of us.
Man,
we couldn't stop.
Man, we hit the brakes. It didn't do any good. I still can't figure where he came from. Only, all of a sudden, he was right there. And that's all there is to it, Bill. Now, I know we did wrong by running away, but we were...
All right, Smitty, that's what I wanted to know. And I believe you.
We wouldn't lie, Bill. Not even when we were in a jam.
Now, look, fellas. I want you to know that I didn't lock you up because I thought you were guilty of killing Sam Potter. I did it for your own protection.
They were going to tar and feather us.
Don't you worry about those men. I'll take care of them.
Bill, you better come out front. We got trouble again.
Tom, Jordy, Ned, you fellas guard the rail of the jail, will ya?
Right. Come on, boys.
Bill, I'm sure glad you and your men are here. I've never seen anything like this.
Don't threaten them, sonny. You're in good hands. They don't scare us, none.
This has always been such a peaceful town.
Perhaps that's why they've let themselves get carried away.
They feel they have right to mete out justice. But they wrong. Here they come. With a battering ram, it sounds like.
You said it, Ralph. They mean business.
And so do I. Open the door, Sid.
Did you say open the door, Bill?
That's right. I'll be in the doorway and let them try to get past.
Okay, Bill. They're calling the signal.
Yeah. All right, quiet. Quiet, you people. Now, you men, listen to me. Unless you go home and behave yourselves, I'm taking Rube and Smitty to the Knotty Pine jail.
You'll never make it, Ranger.
I'll make it all right, mister. Even if I have to use a tank. Now, either you disperse and go home, or I'll take drastic steps to make you.
How do we know justice will be given to those two hot
men? Yeah, how do we know that? You have my word for it. Yeah.
His word. That's a good one.
Yes, it is a good one. Because it's a promise, not only as an officer of the law, but as a Christian.
You're a Christian, Ranger?
That's right.
You can believe Bill Jefferson. He's never gone back on his word in all the years I've known him.
All right. That's good enough for me. Let's go home, men.
When's the inquest going to be held?
I haven't talked to the coroner yet. The day and time will be posted.
Okay. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm going home.
Okay, George.
Don't be for a minute. I thought we were going to have a shooting brawl on our hands.
Well, we can shoot if we have to, Sonny, but we learned a long time ago that God is a lot more powerful than anything we can do.
Bill, what do you hope to prove by reenacting accident?
I'm not sure yet, Grey Wolf. I have a couple of points in mind. Well, they're coming in close now. Be ready to push that stuffed dummy in front of the car when I give you the word.
Hot round almost here.
All right, now. Okay, Smitty. That was just what I wanted.
That's just how I felt, Bill. It all happened so fast, but I'm sure that's just as near as I can come to what actually happened.
That's fine, Smitty. Thanks a lot. Grey Wolf, you escort the boys back to their garage and return them to jail. Ralph and I are going to Knotty Pine to see the coroner.
Bill, what's your honest opinion about this case?
Not quite ready to make a statement yet, Rudy. I need one more piece to finish the jigsaw puzzle.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
A court order for a post-mortem on Sam Potter's body.
Do you think it will show something?
I don't know, Rudy. That's why I'm asking for it.
All right, Bill. I'll sign the order.
Well, here's the place, Ralph. Bill, how'd you find out Jim Land was Sam Potter's doctor?
Sid told me.
Hello, Jim.
Well, Bill Jefferson has a live and breathe. And Ralph Mitchell.
Hello, Dr. Land.
Well, come in and don't just stand there.
Well, I'm sorry, Jim, but I got a lot to do.
Busy, huh? Hey, what's that piece of paper you got there, Bill?
Court order for a post-mortem on Sam Potter's body.
Oh, you won't need that.
You mean?
Yeah, I'll testify at the inquest, gladly.
Oh, fine. I'll call you to the witness stand first thing. Thanks a lot, Jim. Bye.
Samuel Potter met his death. Coroner Rudolph Gordon presiding for the county of Canyon and the village of Big Pine. Spectators will not make comment pro or con as the principals involved are interrogated. Coroner Gordon.
As coroner, I'm setting aside the usual practice, and I'm asking Ranger Bill Jefferson to present the salient facts in the case. All right. Go ahead, Bill.
Thank you, Coroner. First, I'd like Dr. James Land to take the stand, please. Dr. Land, you've been attending the deceased for some years because of a physical ailment. Is that right?
That is correct.
What was the physical impairment?
Heart disease, angina.
Jim, I served you with a court order to make a post-mortem on the deceased Sam Potter. Why did you say it wouldn't be necessary, since the order was in conjunction with this inquest?
Because, Bill, I already knew how Sam Potter died.
How did Sam Potter die, Jim?
He died from a heart attack.
Well, this uproar occurs again, I'll have the Rangers clear the room. All right. Proceed, Bill.
Thank you, Rudy. Dr. Land, how did you come to this conclusion?
I warned Sam to take it easy because his condition was getting worse. He wouldn't listen. When I heard about the accident, I went to the undertaker and looked at Sam's body. That was clear and positive symptoms of heart attack, despite the bruises.
Well, will you sign the death certificate as you've stated? Cause of death, heart attack, coronary insufficiency?
Certainly.
That's what killed Sam, and that's what I'll put on the certificate.
Thank you, Jim.
You may leave the stand. Now, I call to the stand Ranger Bill Jefferson, the arresting officer. Bill, I want you to explain what you found out regarding this case.
All right. As you can see, I have drawn on this blackboard a diagram of the scene of the accident. We know that the car was traveling between 20 and 25 miles an hour. That fact has been very carefully checked. The victim was here at the X mark. The car didn't have time to stop and avoid hitting the victim. However, Smitty's reflexes are rapid. Upon seeing Sam in front of him, he applied the brakes instantly. It's a fact that the car was going only 5 miles an hour when it hit the victim. There's no dent in the fenders or grill of the car, nor are there any paint fragments in the clothes. Sam was hit in midair by the car bumper as he toppled right into the path of the oncoming vehicle.
Now I remember, Phil. That's the way it was. He didn't exactly fall. He sort of toppled.
I've presented the evidence to an unbiased mind, which proves beyond a reasonable doubt that Sam's death was accidental. This concludes my presentation.
Then if Rube and Smitty didn't kill him, they ought to be punished for running from the scene of the accident.
I'm not making excuses for that, except that they're only boys and that they were frightened. How about you, mister?
Me?
You should know better, have been inciting riot and mob violence, obstructing justice, and invading the right of privacy. Did you have a search warrant when you broke into Smitty's garage and examined his car?
No, I didn't. I apologize. I made a mistake.
So did Rube and Smitty when they hit and ran. They've learned their lesson. Thanks to you, I'm sure they'll have nightmares about it for a long time.
Take it easy, Bill. As coroner of this county, I've heard the evidence and do now pronounce Sam Potter's death as being from natural causes, not because he was hit by the automobile driven by these two boys. I also waive any punishment recommendation to the court because the boys ran away, since I'm sure they've learned their lesson. This inquiry is concluded and adjourned.
We sure owe you a lot, Bill. You were great on the stand. I'll never forget you for the lesson we've learned.
I owe you the most thanks because I drove the car. Oh, boy. What a load you've lifted from my shoulders, Bill. I'll never forget the lesson you've taught us, either.
What is that lesson, fellas? It's just this. Never run when you're in trouble, no matter how bad the circumstantial evidence. In this country, you're innocent until you're proved guilty.
Well, I was just as startled as you were when Bill presented the truth. But it was the truth, and that's what really counts. We'll see you next week for more adventure with Ranger Bill!
Now, little ones, it is that time for Bible story time with Sister Ruth.
A good man's footsteps. How far the caravan moved that first day, we do not know, but probably it wasn't more than a few miles, with all the stops that had to be made for feeding the animals and the children and looking after their many needs. And so it was, day after day, just a few more miles and a few more miles. What faith Abraham needed to keep the vision of the beautiful city bright and shining in his heart all that long, long time. At last they came to a place called Haran. It may have been named after Lot's father, and perhaps some of his relations lived there. In any case, Abraham decided to stop a while and give everybody a rest. There were many things that had to be done for such a large company. Then, too, old father Terah wasn't feeling well, so they camped at Haran and stayed there until Terah died. While at Haran, the caravan grew larger and larger. Lots of calves, kids, lambs, and baby camels were born. More boys and girls arrived to swell the families of the servants. So by the time Abraham was ready to leave, his moving problems had increased greatly. Then a number of people living in and around Haran asked if they could go along too. They had heard Abraham tell of the great God of heaven, whom he loved and worshipped, and who had called him to leave Ur of the Chaldees and journey to a new and better land. As they had listened to his wonderful story and watched his godly life, they decided to join him, and Abraham agreed to take them with him. So we read that. When the caravan was about to move again, on Abraham's 75th birthday, Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. It would have been far easier and more comfortable to have stayed in Haran. Everybody had been so friendly. But this, Abraham knew, would not be doing the will of God. He must go on, ever seeking the land of promise. Now, the journey was slower than ever, with so many more people and cattle in the party. They made only a short distance each day, but it really didn't really matter, for nobody was in a hurry. They took their time and enjoyed the trip. As they moved southward, the scenery became more and more beautiful. Now and then, they passed small settlements of people, descendants of pioneers who had moved from Babel 2 centuries before. They found them to be distant cousins being children of Canaan, a son of Ham, hence the name the land of Canaan, for the country we now call Palestine. Sad to say, most of these people had forgotten God and were worshiping idols or bowing down to the sun or moon as though they were gods. They looked with astonishment at this caravan of people who carried no idols and whose kindly, noble-looking leader was forever talking of one who made heaven and earth, who wanted everybody to love and serve him. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem and to the plain of Mork. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Many months had passed since he had set forth from Ur. And you can imagine how glad Abraham was to hear God's voice again. Now and then, during all the long journey and the many delays, he may well have wondered whether he was on the right way and doing what God really wanted him to do. But now he knew how happy he was that God was pleased with him. In his joy, he built an altar and offered a sacrifice while he, Sarah, and Lot, and all the servants knelt in worship. As the smoke of the sacrifice rose high in the air, some of the Canaanites saw it and wondered what was happening. As they came to find out and saw Abraham and all his company on their knees before God, their hearts were touched. They remembered what their fathers had told them of the great Creator, and some decided they too would like to worship him, as Abraham did, instead of bowing down to idols. Wherever the great caravan paused, Abraham built an altar, until the land was dotted with them, each a silent witness to his faith. When years later, strangers found one of them and asked what it was and who had built it, there was always some way to say, this is one of the altars of Abraham, servant of the God of heaven. These altars mark the footsteps of a man of God who was seeking to do right and witness for his Maker. We should do as he did. As we move from place to place through life, we should try to leave behind us memorials to our faith. Long after we have gone from one classroom to another, or from one school to another, or from one city to another, people should be able to remember us as children of God, who always stood for right and truth and fair play. Not that we should be a perfect example all the time. Even Abraham, while he was building his altars, made one big mistake, and the Bible tells us about it, so we won't be discouraged if we should slip sometime. Going on still toward the south, Abraham led his caravan all the way to Egypt, and there he tried to deceive Pharaoh. Because Sarah was so very beautiful, he was afraid the king would kill him and take Sarah for himself. So he said that she was his sister. In a way, this was true, but how much better it would have been from the start if he had said she was his wife. Pharaoh had first treated him royally and gave him many presents. But at last, as always, the truth came out. Then Pharaoh was angry, if he had reason to be, and Abraham was very much ashamed. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. In disgrace, the caravan turned northward again. But so Abraham was heartsick at his failure. He knew where to go, and he knew on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. He had much to say to God. Oh, how he regretted that he had spoiled the best opportunity of his life to witness for him in Pharaoh's court. But God forgave him, and all was well again. It's a good thing, when we make a mistake, to go back to some altar we built in the beginning, in some place where we met God before, and there pour out our hearts to him in humble repentance. For he will hear us and forgive us, and we shall go on our way again, knowing he loves us still.
All right, little ones, it's that time to have a little time with Uncle Bob.
Hello there. I am a very important 20-foot-long piece of pink pipe.
A 20-foot-long section of pink pipe?
Yes, sir.
My, you're a rather unusual nature corner guest. What do you do? What's your act?
I take your digested food and put it in your bloodstream.
Oh, so you're my small intestine.
Exactly. I am your small intestine.
I didn't know you were 20 feet long.
I sure am, and I'm about an inch wide and kind of bumpy.
Mm-hmm. Where are you located?
Below your stomach, in your abdomen.
You must be curled up if there's 20 feet of you.
Oh, definitely. I'm in a zigzag S shape, Uncle Bob.
I get it. And it's inside of you where my digested food enters the bloodstream, then.
Right on. And from the bloodstream, the food is carried to billions of cells in your body.
Mm-hmm. My stomach empties into you, doesn't it?
Sure does. But your stomach will not let me have solid food for at least 2 hours after you've chowed down.
Why is that, small intestine?
Oh, I couldn't handle such large pieces of food, Uncle Bob. I can handle liquids, though, 5 minutes after you drink them.
I see. They don't stay in my stomach. They flow right into you.
Yes, within 5 minutes after you drink liquids like orange juice. It is digested and in your bloodstream.
Mm.
But I cannot do that with solid foods that fast.
It's got to be broken up more.
Yes, and that happens in your stomach.
The digestive juices help there, don't they?
Yes. The intelligent creator put a little juice factory in your stomach to help break up the food.
Isn't that stuff called gastric juices?
Sure. It has hydrochloric acid and pepsin in it.
That's what gastric juice is?
Yes. Hydrochloric acid and the enzyme pepsin. I didn't say Pepsi.
Okay, and that acid chips away at the pieces of food and breaks them up into smaller pieces.
Uncle Bob, do you know how that acid touches all the food in your tummy?
No, I don't. How?
The mighty maker puts special muscles in your stomach that shake and churn the food around.
Hey, that's a neat plan. That mixes the gastric juice with my food.
Right, and it breaks up the food into chyme.
Who's that?
Chyme, spelled C-H-Y-M-E.
Okay, what does chyme look like?
A thick, pulpy liquid.
And that's my partly digested food for my stomach?
Right. And it takes at least 2 hours for your stomach to make this chyme. Sometimes up to 4 hours, depending on the type of food you ate and how tough it is.
Right. Okay, so after 2 or 3 hours, the stomach gives you this chyme.
Yes.
How?
It pumps it in my direction.
My stomach has a pump in it?
Oh, sure. When everything is ready, the muscles in your stomach squeeze the partly digested chyme into me. The small intestine.
Now, does this happen all at once, in one big squeeze?
No, it happens every 20 seconds, Uncle Bob.
My stomach squeezes a little chyme into you and then rests for 20 seconds?
That's the idea. Pretty cool system, isn't it?
I should say. Shows how great our maker is.
Right on, Uncle Bob.
So about 4.5 hours after I've eaten my meal, my stomach is empty then.
Yes, and I, your small intestine, have this thick, pulpy liquid in my long pipe now.
Now, this chyme, the partly digested food, needs to be digested a lot more before you can put it in my bloodstream, right?
Definitely, Uncle Bob.
And this last step of digestion takes place inside of you, my 20-foot-long pink tube.
Ah, that's where the Creator meant it to happen.
How do you break up this chyme, small intestine?
3 helpers, Uncle Bob.
Okay, let's hear about them.
A tube from your pancreas connects to me.
Oh, yes, and pancreatic juice flows out.
And that juice breaks up this food. The chyme.
Okay, what else?
Bile.
Bile, huh? That's a juice?
Right.
Where does it come from?
The liver.
Mm, and the liver is hooked to you?
Oh, yes. Through a little pipeline that goes to the gallbladder first.
Okay, and this bile from the gallbladder flows into you, small intestine.
Yes, and helps digest your food even more.
Now, you said there was another juice that helped in the final step of digestion. What was that?
Oh, I almost forgot. I manufacture it inside the walls of my pink pipe.
Oh, sure, that's called the intestinal juice, then.
Yes, it is. Now, stop and think just a second, Uncle Bob.
Okay.
Isn't this fantastic, how the great Creator made your body?
Oh, it's super engineering, small intestine. I mean, I'm glad you said stop and think, because we go so fast today that all of this just slips past us, and we don't think how great the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator, is.
I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, Uncle Bob.
Oh, I believe that.
All right, now that I have the partly digested food, the chyme, from your stomach, all 3 of these digestive juices I told you about begin breaking down the food into very, very, very tiny particles, little molecules.
So now the food is small enough to enter my bloodstream, where the blood carries it to all my body's cells.
Righto. 7 hours after you ate your food.
It takes that long?
Gotta do it right, Uncle Bob. And that takes about 7 hours from the time you swallowed your food.
7 hours from chow time until it becomes part of my system. Okay, no shortcuts. But how does it get out of you and into my blood, small intestine?
The villi?
The who?
The villi. V-I-L-L-I.
What are they?
Millions of tiny little pieces of skin that look like little fingers.
Oh, yes. They're attached to the inside of you, small intestine, right?
Yes.
Do these villi fingers have blood vessels in them?
Yes. Little capillaries.
And do these little blood capillaries absorb the digested food?
And they sure do.
How?
Well, Uncle Bob, the completely digested food fills me, the small intestine, see? And it's touching the little villi fingers.
Okay, and the little blood capillaries and the millions of villi soak up the digested food like a sponge, then.
That's right. They quickly absorb the digested food, and it goes right into your blood, just like that.
It gets into the blood so quickly because the tiny capillary blood vessels are on the surface of the villi fingers.
Yes, and the capillaries have tiny holes in them, little pores.
How come the blood doesn't leak out if they have holes in them?
The blood cells are too big for the holes, Uncle Bob.
Oh, I see. No worry about that, then.
Right on. So don't fret.
Okay. Well, then my heart pumps this blood throughout my body. Check?
To the billions of cells that reach out and take in this food and grow healthy.
Wow. It's important, then, to eat the right kind of food, isn't it?
Sure is, Uncle Bob. Down with junk food.
You know, it kind of bums me out to think that some people say all of this just happened.
It's through evolution, huh?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's because they don't want to be responsible to the Creator, you suppose?
Hmm, that's a thought, small intestine. See, the way your small intestine and digestive system works demands an intelligent Creator, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps your system going.
Hello, my name is Ian of Asheville, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061, and the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
7 days a week of what you really want. The Six Eyes Radio Network.
Did you enjoy the program today? Well, you could get all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, whether Station 1 or Station 2. All you have to do is first download your iHeartRadio. Once you downloaded the iHeartRadio app, then go to iHeartRadio and type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that and you click enter, you will see two results pop up. The first, Six Eyes Radio, and the second, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. These are the results for both Station 1, Six Eyes Radio, and Station 2, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. You'll want to click on both and get both added to your device so you can listen to all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for both Station 1 and Station 2 so you can enjoy 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, at your leisure. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, who do we got with us here on this show there, Sister Ruth?
Well, we got God's Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, you and me.
All right. Well, so what did you think, at least, Ruth?
Good show.
All right. Well, we're going to ask you to give us a closing prayer, but we'd want to invite everybody to tonight's show, the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible Study, at 7 p.m. on Station 1. You call 424-243-9617, 7 p.m. Eastern, here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Okay, go ahead, Ruth. I don't hear you. You got to unmute yourself.
Well, dear precious Lord, we love and praise your name, and thank you for the program, and hope everybody enjoyed. We thank and praise your name. We love you so much, and amen.
God bless everybody. Catch you tonight.